Okay, I would like to start today by honoring and recognizing all the presence in here today. I want you to look to the person on your side and say, I'm glad to see you. I would like to thank you for serving God. I would like to thank you for listening and doing His word. I also would like to encourage you to keep doing it. The simple fact that you are here today, it's showing that you are seeking the Lord. The simple fact that you are here shows that you want more of the Lord. And before we sit down, let's pray that God bless the service today. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study. Let's close our eyes right now and let's ask the Lord to bless this Bible study. Bless, O Lord, as we open our hearts, as we open our minds to listen from you, to learn from you. Use this vessel, O God. Use, O Lord, according to your will, according to your purpose. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you, God. Put your hands together. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a Bible verse that I would like to share with you just before you sit down. It's John 15, verse 19. That Bible verse says, if we were of the world would love his own. But because we are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you might have a seat. There is another translation for the Bible verse that it's called righteous and not standing for the truth will not be popular with those of the world. That's a different translation. It is part of our pop culture to respect the famous, the rich, and the powerful. Many times, the idea of being successful in our careers lay on being recognized, on being complimented. And I don't know about you, but I love to hear congratulations and shake somebody's hands. I love to hear praises about how well I am doing. I work hard in my school to the principal. So she would come to me and said, good job, well done work. Hear our names being spoken out and clear on how good we are doing and how wonderful we are and the fantastic job that we are doing. And we are easily flattered by nice compliments. We sort of need those compliments many times to keep going. And it makes us to feel good to hear that we are doing a good job. It makes us feel good if somebody say, you are great, you are fabulous. Not only we expect to be recognized at work, but we also want to be recognized in the church. We want everybody to see how well we are doing. However, there is a dimension that we should not rely on praises and recognitions. We must be sensitive to God's spirit and just do what is right, because it's the right thing to do. Not like many of our politicians, they want to please everybody and they want to compromise just to receive support and that we would vote for them. But they end up hurting people. They end up not following God's will for the country. But putting that on the side, we need to focus not only on pleasing people to receive recognition, but we should do what is right just because it's the right thing to do. Amen. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it talks about the Antichrist. It says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." But let's focus on that part of the verse that says, "He corrupt by flatteries." So he's talking about the Antichrist, how he's going to go around flattering. Flatteries means adulation, blandishments, sweet talk, praises. That what we are talking about today. So people, they never receive. Today we're going to talk about some people, they never receive recognition. They never received a praise, as far as the Bible says. And when we think about great people from the Bible, we think of individuals like King David, the great Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, Queen Esther, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. But woven in the stories of each of those giants of faith, there are some names not quite so familiar to us. Yeah, they are great men and women of faith as well. These are figures in the Bible that if we would be watching a movie, would be the supporting actors. They would not be the main actors. They are the people that are in the background. People that are overshadowed by the more so-called important or feature players in the scripture. However, from God's viewpoint, there is no such thing as a supporting character. In the eyes of God, we all are equal. And in the eyes of God, we are all called to serve Him. He has given a calling to every person. And regardless of how important mankind viewed that calling, God considers everyone who trusts in Him as a great hero of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of these people, they are mentioned in no more than a single verse in the Bible. Some of them are not even mentioned by name. But God knows who these people are, and He values. These people are precious to Him. Let us take a look in these people. Shall we? Amen. So, Naaman's wife's maid. Let's open our Bibles in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. We're going to learn about this maid. Naaman's wife maid. Now, the Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out of the companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.'" 2 Kings tells a story of a successful Syrian commander who had the disease, the leprosy. The story goes that on the suggestion that the servant girl, Naaman's wife, went to see the prophet Elijah to be cured of his leprosy. This is an amazing story of healing and turning to the Lord. And it also has some twists and ironies in the end. So let's hear what she said. And she said, the little maid said, let's call her the little maid because the Bible doesn't give her a name. So let's call her the little maid. Amen. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What she's saying is, perhaps, what she's saying is, if he goes to the prophet, he will be healed of his leprosy. Naaman, the captain of Syria army, was a great and honorable man. His wife had this Jewish servant girl working for her. She probably heard about the miracles that Elijah, the prophet, had been doing. She spoke up to her mistress and told her that Elijah could heal her husband. She knew where Naaman could go to be healed. And she did not keep silent about it. For many people, listen to this. It's not the preacher or the prophet who first witness. It is a friend. It is a neighbor. It is a co-worker. It's someone that is associated with us in our everyday life on a daily basis. Someone that they know and trust. God could have sent Elijah to go there to Naaman's door and had healed him. But God chose this servant maid. The Lord could also show, the Lord Jesus could also show up in everybody's door that he wants to save. But God, our Lord Jesus, has chose you and I to go and witness, just like he called on this servant maid. He uses you, he uses me, he uses us to speak to the sick and to those that are dying around us, the spiritual lepers that are dying in their own sickness, in their own sins. And the message that we should give to them is, go to Jesus. He will make you clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. May we all have the courage of this servant, Jewish slave girl, to speak up and point to the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As we read this story of Naaman, the real hero is not Naaman, is the humble, nameless slave girl. She is the one who started up the miracle. She is the one who started up she's the one who sowed the first seed. She is the one that showed herself faithful. She was the lowest of the low in the social pyramid. She's completely on the bottom. First, she's a woman. If you're a woman here, we don't have many women in here because they are on the women's, the ladies. But if you're a woman hundreds of years ago, on that time, there were no modern concepts of gender equality. There was no woman rights, no feminism. And woman was more like a commodity. And as for her being a slave, she was most likely like an object. Secondly, she was poor. And third, she was a slave. She could be bought and sold. She could be used and abused. And we can imagine this girl, even in her condition, she was faithful to God. She was praying for her masters. She had the pain in her heart as she heard that her master was leopard. Obviously, she loved her master. But the Bible doesn't say whether her masters were good or bad to her. But what we learn from this lesson is that regardless if her masters were bad or good for her, she still loved them. She still is speaking the word of hope to them. She's still directing them to the Lord. Amen. Regardless, whether they were bad or good, she wished them well and blessed them with a great advice. And if you read the full story, you will find out that Naaman, he went ahead to see Elijah. And the whole story goes on that he goes and Elijah tells him to, well, Naaman went and he wants to be received by Elijah. But Elijah sent somebody else to talk to him. And he got offended because Elijah said that he had to bathe himself 7 times in the Jordan River. And he was upset because he said, oh, well, in Syria, there is many rivers. Why can't I take a bath in there? And there was a work in his heart, on Naaman's heart, to break down all the pride that he had in his heart. And as we keep reading the story about how Naaman, he had to humble himself and he had to bathe in the river 7 times until he got healed, we completely forgot. We completely forget this slave maid. She's forgotten in this story. We never hear anything about her. She's completely gone. No more scriptures referring to her. And we also hear the story about how Naaman, he brought gold and riches to offer to Elijah. Of course, it would be something worth of what was done to him. And Elijah refused all these riches. And he just tells Naaman to go and be faithful to the God of Israel. And it seems like the story keeps going on. More things happens. And this girl is never again mentioned. I never heard this girl being preached in a sermon. We hear about Naaman. Of course, God worked on his pride. Elijah, great man of God. But this little maid, she's completely forgot. And in the New Testament, church, we must not ignore the little maids in the church. We must not ignore them. Their names are never mentioned. Little maids in this church, their names are never mentioned. They never receive a recognition. They are forgotten. And they are here. They are in our hallways. They are teaching in the congregation. They are soul winners wherever they go. They are prayer warriors. They don't miss a prayer. They always have a word of wisdom every time you meet them. They never demand recognition. They never demand respect. They never demand a flatter. They work quietly, discreet, behind the scenes. The fact that her name is never mentioned, it doesn't bother her. She plants the words. She sows the seeds as much as she can. And she speaks the word. And there's no words of doubt coming from her. It's always words of faith. She said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." She is absolutely sure that Naaman would be healed. And how she could know that? The story goes on. And one can imagine this little maid preparing the trip for Naaman. Because back then they wouldn't travel by themselves. They did not have the commodities that we have today. So she probably had to organize all his trip, organize his clothes, organize his food, water, putting together his trip. She probably thought that she, by advising Naaman, she just brought more work to herself. As being a slave, she probably was over preparing his trip to see. But I can imagine her doing it gladly. She was glad because she trusted in God. She was doing the right thing. Hallelujah. She knew the master that she served, the God of Israel. The same happens today with the little maids. They are reaching for the lost. As they reach for the lost, seems like more work is coming upon them. They have to prepare the trip of those that are coming to church. Some people don't have a ride to come to church. So they invited to come to church, but you have to provide a ride for them. They come in here, they come hungry, they bring children. They need to be, they want to be fed. And they do not come alone. They bring their companions, they bring their children and their family. Amen. So let's appreciate our maids. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put your hands together and say, "Praise God." Now say, "Thank God for the little maids." Thank God for the little maids. Amen. There is another one that I would like to talk to you today. Let's open our Bibles in Luke 22, 11 and 12. There is another person that was never mentioned by name and is just a hero of faith. Is the owner of the upper room. Who is that man? The Bible never mentioned him by name. We don't know his name. Let's read. "And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master say unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnish, there make ready." In Mark 14, verse 15, it says, "And he will show you a large upper room, furnish and prepare, there make ready for us." The Lord gives detailed instructions to his disciples, telling them exactly what and who they will find when they get there. The master of the house, where the Lord and his disciples ate the Last Supper, he was a real individual. He was not just someone who Jesus selected at random. This was a particular man who Jesus chose to serve God in his manner. So, Jesus did not simply command someone's living quarters on the spot. it's believed that probably Jesus, this man actually heard Jesus preaching at some point. He had some experience with Jesus. And he probably offered to serve Jesus in any way that he could. Even Peter and John, the two closest disciples of the Lord, they had no idea who this man was. They didn't know. There was no dramatic invitation to his homes, no grand spectacle offering the use of his guest room. I believe that this man, at a certain point of Jesus' ministry, he said, whatever I can do to serve you, Jesus, I am available. All I have is yours. This is a man that is willing to give everything for the Lord. And as we read the Bible, it seems that this man, he continued making his home available to the disciples, even after the crucifixion and the resurrection. In Acts 1:13, it says, and when they come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealots, and Judah the brother James. Throughout the book of Acts and the apostolic church, we hear about the upper room being used many, many times. When we serve the Lord, it follows that we serve those who belong to him. We do not even know the name of this man who owned the house with the upper room. But we know that he was faithful and he served the Lord. And as in comparison with this man and the servant maid, we see that this is a man. So he had a little bit more respect in the society, also for the fact that he had some properties and make us assume that he was wealthy. It shows us that God not only is willing to bless the slave maid, the one that is poor and the burden of the society, but God is willing to bless the rich, those that have a property. Amen? Hallelujah. God is for all. He just offered what he had. Riches are a blessing from God. He served the Lord with his resources. He just offered what he had. They are good men of the house in the church today. They are brothers. They opened the door of their house. They opened the door of their cars to give someone a ride, to give a Bible study, to share the precious word of the Lord, to say a prayer. And they keep themselves anonymous. It's just the good men of the house. They are just the good men of the house. That's all. They don't let the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. The good man of the house offers not only a room, but he makes sure that the room is furnished. He goes the extra mile. He's concerned with the details. He wants to offer something worth to the Lord. There is no record of him arguing, asking further questions, demanding recompense, or demanding a special treatment in the kingdom. After all, he is the owner of the upper room. But he doesn't. He demands no recognition. And there is no record of him demanding payment back. He had the revelation that he was there just to serve the Lord. That all the wealth that he had, he was just a steward. We have this good man of the house today. in the church. They give to the church unconditionally. They don't expect a special treatment just because they are paying their tithes or just because they are giving offers. They give to foreign missions, building fund, financially support the church. And he's just the good man of the house. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The good man of the house is another person that is forgotten in the scripture, but is not forgotten by God. We don't know, we don't even know who he was. Let us not take the good man of the house for granted. Let's not take the servant maids for granted. We learn a wonderful lesson today that even those that are nameless, God knows your name. Your name is written by the blood of Christ. God is the eye that sees everything. We can imagine Jesus telling the good men of the house, in heaven you will find your reward. We can imagine Jesus telling the little servant maid, I have your reward and no one will take that from you. It's in heaven. Let's stand, if you will, as I get ready to conclude. There are many people that serve God and never received any recognition. Let us not be dependent on recognition and respect, but let us be humble. Let us be anonymously serving God. It is okay to be anonymous. God knows you. The fact that you're not recognized by people does not necessarily mean that you are recognized by God. And the fact that you are being recognized by people does not mean that you're being recognized by God. God will exalt you in his time. To receive recognition from God is better than receive recognition from man. Amen. Praise God. During 2013, let us God use us in our anonymity. anonymity, being anonymous, serving God. Perhaps you think that you have to be rich and famous to start witness. God wants to use you in the same way that he used a slave maid. And he can use your resources as a good man of the house. He can use your talents and your resources. God has given us so many special abilities and talents. Maybe the only thing that we need to do is ask. So let's ask him and let's tell God that he can use us. And during this year, 2013, wherever we are and wherever we go, and allow him. And let us not expect human recognition. Let us do it for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. Oh God, help us, oh God, to focus on you. To be a witness of you, not expecting recognition of man. Help us to learn from all these nameless people in the Bible, such as the servant maid and the good man of the house that owned the upper room. Help us to be like them. Oh God, witnessing, oh God, preaching your word. Wherever we go, every opportunity, O Lord, to please you. O God, help us to be humble. Help us, O God, to be closer and closer to you. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit. And help us, oh God, to be faithful to you. Because all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the respect, all the recognition, all the popularity belongs to you, oh God. Because only you are God, and you deserve. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Praise God. God bless you. We still have 10 minutes break.